Welcome to the podcast. It's the best podcast in the world.
This is going to end up on the show. I know it, motherfucker.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 92 of Epitome of Stupidity, your favorite allegedly metal podcast that is going to get even more metal this time around with fucking Slayer, only slower. War ensemble like you've never heard it before and fucking awesome to boot. I'll be talking with one Espen Williams, who plays in a band called Slower, who has taken on these songs. He also plays in a little band called Monolord that you may have heard of. But we'll get to that here shortly. If you're new here, I'm Clint, and I'll be your host. If you're not new here, you might remember a few years ago before some stupid pandemic where we would partner with the massive festival here in Columbus, Ohio called Sonic Temple. I'm going to play a commercial for them here in a second, not for the fun of it, but commercials are fun. But because they have again partnered with the show here, and I'll be giving away three sets of weekend passes leading up to the festival. You can win the first set of passes. You can enter to win the first set of passes by going back to episode 91 and telling me via email at eostupidity@gmail.com, direct message by Facebook or Instagram. I'm just looking for the answer to the guest on that show, Mr. Steve Shanks, the answer to his album Island question there toward the end of the podcast. Send that to any of the previously mentioned venues, and you'll be entered to win weekend passes to Sonic Temple. Other than that, how about you play the commercial, Clint? How about you don't tell me what to do, Clint?
Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival returns to historic Crew Stadium. Slipknot. Disturbed. Pantera. The original Misfits. Evanescence. Limp Bizkit. Judas Priest. Stain. Breaking Benjamin. A Day to Remember. Falling in Reverse. Sleep Token. Rise Again. 311. Seether. Mudvayne. And many more. May 16th through the 19th. Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale now at SonicTempleFestival.com.
Man, that is going to be 4 days of fucking fun. Again, go back to the last episode. Email or direct message the show here. The answer to Steve's what album would he take to the island with him question, and you will be entered to win the first set of passes. Other than that, I'm going to ramble for a minute about what I've been listening to here lately. First off is a band called the Death Wheelers, who the previously mentioned Steve Shanks brought up to me in that show. That stuff has been in steady rotation. That is a lot of fucking fun. Some instrumental, just dirty rocking shit. It is great. I've had a good run of Ministry, whom I got to see here in Columbus just last week with Gary Newman, who was not at all what I was expecting. I had at least one conversation with an Instagram friend who saw the same show, and we both had the same opinion that old Gary may have seen Nine Inch Nails here recently and said, yeah, that looks fun. I'm going to do that. If you get a chance to see the tour, it's worth your time. It was pretty cool. And of course, I've been listening to a lot of fucking Slower. Because what a great idea this is. Take Slayer songs and play them slower, Doom style. I can't wait to talk with Espen about this and kind of sort all these things out as to how this came about and just how much fun I'm sure it was to do this. But first, I'm going to tell you about some delicious award-winning mead, courtesy of my guys at the Brimminghorn Meadery. If you go to brimminghornmeadery.com and pick out some deliciousness, then at checkout, use the code EPITOMEAD, E-P-I-T-O-M-E-A-D, and boom, you'll get 10% off your order. And at that point, you might as well go back and find you another bottle to buy, right? Right. And then they'll ship it to you, and a couple days later, you'll have deliciousness, and you'll be drinking like a Viking. It'll be great. Just a little further background before we jump into the conversation with Espen about the band Slower here. This is an insane lineup that has come together to celebrate Slower at a fucking way slower BPM. And somehow keeping it just as heavy, but differently. It features Fu Manchu's Bob Balch, Kylesa's Laura Pleasance, Year of the Cobra's Amy Berrysmith, Lowrider's Peter Bergstrand, Caius's Scott Reeder, and, of course, One Mono Lords, Espen Williams. So, like, just imagine all these people sitting around listening to Slayer and saying, yeah, man, let's do this fucking slower. And then, I don't know, I could ramble about this forever because it is so awesome. All these just great and classic Slayer songs in this way that you would never imagine them. Well, I'll tell you what. How about I stop rambling and we give Espen a call and see what he has to say about it? Yeah? Stupid phone sounds, go. Beep, 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 boop, ring. All right, and he took my call. On the line with me right now is one Espen Williams. I believe you're in Sweden right about now, is that right?
That's right, Gothenburg.
Gothenburg, fantastic. Yeah. How is it there?
Well, it's everyone has a cold right now, so it's a bit slow. But otherwise, it's good. It's great.
Well, that's great.
Summer's coming. Very slowly, but it's coming.
Very slowly, which
I mean, with summer, yeah, exactly. It's, yeah.
Slowly's going to be a theme here today, huh? Before we get too far into that, though, I always like to ask people, what are you listening to currently?
Oh, that's always the best question, and I don't know what to respond to ever, because I listen to all kinds of stuff, but I suck at names so badly. It's like, I love this album. What's the band called again? I forget. Oh, you mean the album with the thing on it? And the thing?
Yeah, it's got the cover.
Yeah, exactly. I actually listened to one thing on the way here. I have to check that because it was fucking insane. That was it's a band called, hold on, sorry, let's see, Winston Supermain.
Winston Supermain.
I have no idea what it is. It's Greg at Metal Injection. He sends me loads of stuff to listen to, which I love. So I discover all kinds of craziness that way. I gotta dive back into that. It was some kind of Meshuggah mayhem, but wilder.
But wilder, huh?
Crazy. I listen to all kinds of stuff. When I have a lot of work, I usually tend to listen to very, very droney stuff, like Sun or Devin Townsend's, what's it called, the DreamWorks albums, which is like, that's just the ambient sounds.
Yeah.
Very, very just slow, relaxing. There's an ultra contrast to everything else.
Right. Almost like. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say almost like life soundtrack music.
But I'm rambling because that's how I listen to music. I ramble in listening, so to speak. I mean, I constantly listen to new stuff because I'm curious, and some of it sticks, some of it doesn't.
Sure.
But it's always interesting with new input, and it's always interesting with new input up the genre of the bands I currently play in, which seems to surprise people. I don't know why, but I mean, the broader the palette, the more interesting stuff is, I think.
I completely agree. And just to directly reference your ramble thing there, this is the perfect place to ramble. Please ramble about music all you would like to here.
Oh, beautiful.
So let's jump right into this. We're going to talk mainly about Slower today, the Slayer cover band type thing. And I'm going to start with the easiest, most generic question that I'm sure you've answered multiple times at this point. How did this come about, and what did you think when it was proposed to you?
It came about when Bob Balch contacted me, because I don't remember this, but I apparently posted something about, I like collabs, I think it's fun, it's interesting. I've always loved side projects in all shapes and forms. I've always felt that it fuels the main project, whatever it is, so it's always fun to get new impressions from new people, playing with new people, learning their musical language and all that stuff. I probably posted something about that. He read that and he felt like, I like Mono Lords. Maybe he was being to do this. So he contacted me and presented the idea, and I felt like, damn, of course I want to do this. I mean, you're Bob Balch from Fu Manchu. I love your band. And I love this idea because we'll probably get to that, but jumping ahead a little bit, there is something in those riffs when they're slowed down. That's super interesting. Because it's the Slayer songs, they're ingrained in most of us. I mean, we know them by heart.
Right, right.
The Great American Songbook, right?
of course.
So, but listening to them much slower makes them completely, it's different songs altogether. So hearing the first scratch tracks from him with guitar with the same riff, it's like, I know that riff. I know which song this is, and I recognize this. But still, I don't.
Right.
It's super weird. I don't know what to play to this because it's kind of Slayer upside down. It's like
upside down.
What the hell? How am I? Yeah, exactly. How am I supposed to approach this? And that was part of it. I mean, I love that aspect of it. It is a cover band. Yeah. By the way, I just turned 50 and I want to play in a cover band. So I'm the biggest cliche ever. But.
Nailed it.
But at the same, being a cover band, it's not covers. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
They are new interpretations of the song.
And they are.
That's a really, really long, like,
sure.
Yeah, me, I said, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they are fucking amazing interpretations, to your use your word there for it. It sounds like you are a Slayer fan personally. Is there a song that you wanted to bring to this project that didn't make it? Is there something that, or is one of your favorites? Does it happen to be one of the ones that are on here?
I get the question, but that's not really how the process was, as I see it. It's been Bob's project from the get go, and I felt like he's taken the initiative to. The choice of songs, he's always asked, are you good with this? Or do you have any other suggestions? But I felt from the first song that it doesn't matter which song we're going to interpret or remake, because all of them is going to get a new costume,
sure.
New sound. So I'm actually good with whatever song. The only thing we discussed a little more was that we didn't want to go for the most obvious choices, not the biggest hits.
Sure.
Maybe they get a little deeper, but that's really it's a really vague answer because I don't know what to reply.
No, yeah. What I'm trying to do is in a coy way ask you what your favorite Slayer song is, but I actually like your answer better and just kind of deferring to Bob there since it's his thing. So, but I guess I will follow up with, okay, what's your favorite Slayer song?
Yeah. All of them, but to me, Slayer is kind of one of those AC/DC bands. They have their thing and they've done it for like 1 million albums, and I love all the albums. it doesn't differ. It's like, oh yeah. This
Slayer, oh hey, look, it's more Slayer, right?
Yeah, exactly, more Slayer. I like it.
Right,
bring it on. But I mean. I do love the hits. I love Rainy Blood specifically. That song. It's like there is something genius about it. That's just it's amazing. It's amazing on all levels to me.
I wouldn't waste a lot of time arguing with you there. So how did this lineup end up coming about? I made mention and kind of listed off everybody that's a part of it before getting on the phone with you. How did the pieces come together? What was the process there?
Everything came together like bit by bit and still do. Because I don't think neither Bob or I had any clear picture of what this would turn into. It was just like, I have this idea, want to try it out and see how it goes. I said yes, and we started recording. And from there on, he asked me, do you have any choices on any suggestions on who to do what? And we discussed that back and forth. And the people that ended up on the album said, well, some of those choices that said, yes, I want to do this. So it's been a project in progress from the start, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, definitely.
It wasn't a clear idea. It wasn't like, I have this idea, I want to do this with these people, and I want to have this out in this kind of way. It's just like, it's it's evolved along the way.
Sure.
Kind of. And all of a sudden, there was an album. It was like, yeah, damn, it happened.
Right. I'll be doggone.
It's been a strange process, but I like that. I've enjoyed that a lot. It's been kind of freeing.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
It sounds like it was almost like conversational in how it came about and kind of talking through it and who could we get for this.
That's the perfect word. Yeah, it was.
That's great. Yeah,
it is.
That's cool. You speak of when you know, and we go through all this, and now there's an album. What was the first finished song you heard, and what was your reaction?
Sorry.
What was the first finished song you heard from the album, and what was your reaction?
I think it was "Top of Heaven."
Yeah.
That was the first song we. Yeah. And my reaction was what I mentioned earlier. It was like, this is so weird, and I love it. It's so strange. it is "South of Heaven," but it's not.
Right.
So yeah, that was my reaction. I loved it from the start, but it was not but, and it was really inspiring because I didn't know what to make of it, and I liked that.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable a little bit.
In playing the drums to it.
I like that. Yeah.
I
didn't know how to approach it. So yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple follow-ups very specifically drum-related here in just a second. But because we're here, I as you were talking there, like, I've got the question here in front of me, but as you're talking there, I remember reading through, like, the bios and stuff in relation to the project, and Bob talking about teaching someone guitar and playing "South of Heaven" slower, and that's kind of how it came about. I say all this just to say, of course, "South of Heaven" was the first one to be done, right? that was the kind of impetus for everything.
Yeah.
Outside of that,
but yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Outside of that, you started to talk about how to kind of transcribe these things and change them up in this manner. What was the process there? Give us a little more detail about that, and what was the actual BPM difference on these things?
I don't remember that, the BPM difference, but I remember thinking early on that I didn't want to, even though I know the songs, when you're covering a song, you usually listen to the original song in detail just to get updated on all the details. And I deliberately did not, because I didn't want to be too colored by how the drums were on the original.
Sure.
I didn't want to play a slower version of the same thing. So I tried to listen to it as if it was a new song. That was my approach, and that's been my approach throughout the album.
Right.
Like trying to maybe listen to the song once or twice at most, and then leave it be, and just listen to the scratch guitars from Bob. So that's how we've done it, by the way. I got the guitars, I put drums on that, and then vocals and bass.
Yeah.
After that. So, yeah, that was my approach, kind of to keep him as open mind as possible.
I'm going to go ahead and
that's all. Also, sorry, yeah.
I was just going to compliment you there in saying that I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that it worked pretty damn well.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you in this one. So it went from scratch guitars to you, and then vocals and bass. Were there any that started out any one way and ended up differently?
All of them.
All of them.
Mostly because of the vocals, which are they're amazing to me.
Oh, dude, they are great.
I mean, both Laura and Amy. I mean, they've written melodies that wasn't there. So that's another layer on top of everything else. But when I heard Laura's vocals, because she sings on "South of Heaven," that was the first song we recorded. Pulled out the tracks, up the faders, and just listened to the raw recording. It was like, damn, this is amazing.
Right.
What is this even? Those ethereal, evil vocals just lingering on top of the kind of rumbling underneath.
Rumbling is a good phrase for it.
Yeah, that was wild. That was a wild feeling.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's been the same for all the songs. When Amy record the songs for the next four songs, it was like, it was the same. This is crazy. It's like, yeah, there wasn't a melody, song melody before, but now there is.
Yeah.
They made it beautifully, I think.
I would completely agree there. And this kind of haunting thing that you mentioned there previously too, but like you never expect to say Slayer and Beautiful in the same sentence, but son of a bitch, they pull that off, yeah. Don't they?
Yeah.
I agree.
And
it sounds like with the vocals particularly, they may have gone about it in the same fashion you did, where just kind of not necessarily trying to match the original and taking the new idea and running with it.
I think so, yeah. Absolutely. Which I love. I think it's great. And I think it adds to to my ears, it adds to the heaviness, because the contrast between the vocals and the rest is like the heavy part gets even heavier, because those kind of vocals are on top. Haunting is a good word.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the combo, and I love the friction between them.
Friction. That's a good way to. Yeah. There's almost like never ending layers of how different and just its own thing you guys have made these known quantities, and it's fucking fantastic. Will there be any plans to play live? I know everybody's kind of scattered in this group.
Yeah, there will be announcements on stuff.
Oh boy.
Stuff will be happening.
That's I'm going to write down.
Stuff will be happening. I'll leave it there.
I'm writing down stuff will be happening. Happening.
But you didn't hear it from me.
It's fine. It's just you and me talking. Nobody will hear this.
I hope so.
I do too. is there? I mean, that's. I want to ask 6,000 questions about that, but I'm going to leave that one alone for now.
Good.
Is there a possibility for more of this to happen?
I mean, we have itchy fingers, all of us. So we'll see.
That answer gives me a little bit of hope for more, is what I'm going to go with there. Because you're a drummer, and because I've seen some of the bio stuff in relation to this, and Bob, it sounds like he was originally kicking this idea around with the Poison Idea drummer who tragically passed.
That's right.
I don't know. I guess, how was that relayed to you? How do you feel about that?
He didn't tell me that until very late in the project, because he told me he didn't want to freak me out too much about it.
Right.
So, but I was touched by it. I was really moved. I think it was beautiful. I mean, I took it as a compliment, because he told me the story behind it and how he felt about the project and why it just stopped, obviously, because he passed away.
Right.
And me being some spark that set this in motion again that's heartwarming. That's how I see it.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. When you guys started to get reactions to this, was there any nervousness to dealing with these songs, putting these songs out there in such a dramatically different format? Were you guys, what were the initial reactions, and have there been any, adverse reactions?
Since it's been kind of a, I don't know how to describe this. Since it's been kind of a loose project, and not loose as in sloppy, just loose as in conversational, as you put it.
Sure.
It's been a really good vibe between all the involved. It's been really like just a warm chat. It's been really friendly, good vibes all around, and the songs just came about one by one, just to see where things led. And there's been no pressure or deadlines, no labels involved early on. It's just been a project to see, what happens with this. And along with that, I think it's, for me at least, it's been. I mean, I'm always nervous to present music to new music to people every time. Like, I hope you like this. I made this myself. I'm sorry. as many of us do. But that's part of the process. But apart from that, it's been comfy. Is the word for me at least.
We're using
we made this thing. It's been a really inspiring process. I've had fun all the way through it. It's been a little weird in that sense. It's a really good question, but it's been a little bit weird in that sense because it's been everything connected to this, everything surrounding this project has been very different from almost any release I've been a part of because it's evolved through the process of making the album. We didn't know where this would lead when we recorded the first song, and then when we just made another and another and another, and hey, we have an album, let's see if we can get this released. So that was liberating.
I'm
rambling again.
No, rambling.
I hope it makes some kind of sense.
It makes perfect sense, and again, rambling is encouraged. I imagine that once you guys had everything together, you were, I don't imagine you were short on takers for people who were willing to put it out for you.
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, the people I guess not. I wouldn't know. It wasn't like we asked a million people. It just, we discussed it, like, who would fit, who would think this would be a fun thing. Who might have the time to do this? And we agreed on a few names. So we did discuss it. It wasn't like Bob just said that I would want to do this with these people. That part we did discuss. But it wasn't that many names because it's kind of short list of people we felt would might think this is the fun thing to do.
Sure.
So we didn't put it out there. We didn't make a Facebook ad like, hey, we have this project, who's interested? It's very much under the radar.
Right. And it's, you know, not to keep hammering the same nail here, but it's such a different take on all these things. And again, in so many different ways, like even in this conversation, the adjectives that we're using to describe fucking Slayer songs, where it's beautiful and comfy and layered and just all these things that you don't necessarily think about with Slayer. I know personally, when I started hearing the songs, I talked to some friends and told them about what I'd heard and, you know, just to kind of see where they would feel about things and what their reaction would be. And to be completely honest with you, there was a lot of negativity. And then they heard the damn thing. And I had, I have somewhere in my phone 3 text messages that are in some version of, okay, I was wrong about this. This is badass.
That's beautiful.
Right? It's,
makes me happy, yeah.
It's got to be fun to see such a wild idea work out so damn well. Stretching these damn Slayer songs out for 10 minutes and the, you know, the haunting and the beautiful and the comfy and all these things. Now I'm rambling, so I guess it's contagious.
You're not. At all. It's all good.
So unless there's anything else that you specifically want to point out about the slower project, I wouldn't mind touching base about a couple other things that you've got going on.
No, I'm good.
I've previous to getting on the phone with you here, I was listening to the solo things that you've got coming out, particularly Across the Everything. This, I know that album comes out March 29th, so here in just a couple weeks. That was not what I was expecting, and that is a lot of fucking fun. How is that coming along, and who's all a player in that?
I lost you on the last part of the sentence.
Who
but
all
come along and
how's it coming along? Who all is a player in that? And I think that was the question.
Oh, who's playing on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me. All of it.
All of it.
it came along, it came together from, it was just, I mean, I've been part of music making since forever, and like all of us, I have a lot of old song ideas that was just scrapped because they weren't good, as it goes, but then there was this handful of ideas that didn't fit anywhere, and that pile keeps getting a little bit bigger, and I felt like it's, these are kind of weird, and I see how they don't fit anywhere, but I kind of like them anyway. So when the pandemic hit, I felt like I want to make something of this. I want to see if I can make something bearable of these songs.
Bearable.
That, like, that makes me smile. Yeah, that was also kind of, that was part of it, because I love limitations. As a motor, as a creative motor, I think it's a beautiful thing, because we're all limited in some way. None of us can do everything, and I'm comfortable behind the kit, behind the drums. I feel at home there.
Sure.
But on almost everything else, I feel like I'm just, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what key the songs are in. It's like, what key? The fingers go here.
It's the seventh fret. Whatever key that is.
Yeah, exactly. So I just play stuff I feel like, this sounds good, this must be right. And then I put it together like that. And I preach this to all kinds of people I work with and have recorded or mixed. And I'm not too good at asking that myself. So I felt like, instead of asking people that are way better guitar players or bass players or anything than me, I want to try to do this myself entirely and see if I can make it work. So that's part of that project, kind of a social experiment on myself. So yeah, that's how that came about.
Okay.
I recorded the songs, mixed them, and then I very nervously presented them to a few labels, like, would you be interested in releasing this? A Majestic Mountain Records wanted to, so yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, you say that this stuff has been around as long as 2020?
Yeah, the idea is even longer. I mean, some of them are new, some of them are old. Most of them are rewritten lyrics or rearranged. But the ideas are old stuff. But yeah, since then, I recorded in between doing everything else, because life goes fast.
It sure does.
Always does. Yeah.
Which I guess is...
It's taking its time.
And it sounds like it's going to be worth the wait based on those two songs that are out so far. Again, I wouldn't think people would expect from you necessarily, but still in the same, I don't know, room, I guess is what I'll say. I know that you mentioned like this doesn't fit and this is just didn't work and all these things as to how all these ideas kind of got piled around. As you were putting them together, was there a common theme or a thread that you wanted to kind of loosely keep hold of as you was putting the album together?
Yes and no. The theme, I mean. I almost always feel that if one band or one person or one compilation of people makes something together, that's a common theme in itself, regardless of if the five songs they record on an album like are all over the place.
Right.
They will set their mark on their thing. So it will sound like them all the way through. And I felt the same with this, because the songs are kind of all over the place in some sense, but it's still all me. So I think there will be a common thread in that. It sounds like me all the way.
Okay.
I think, and I hope. But it is a little bit all over the place with stuff, which I like.
I can't...
I like a little bit of chaos.
It's well, based on your description of... Go ahead.
No, the two songs that are out, it's not too different from that. It's in the same vein. It's in the same kind of. If you like those, I guess you will like the rest. It's not suddenly a very complicated jazz song. It's kind of the same vein.
And I've got the date right there, right? It's March 29th for that?
Sorry?
It, March 29th, that releases?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's great. It, now, you kind of mentioned in passing there that life moves fast and there's always things going on. Between Monolord, the solo stuff, the slower stuff, your studio, do you either have more hours in a day than other people, or do you just never have free time? Because I feel like it's got to be one of the two.
Yeah, it's a life. I mean, doing what we do, I guess it's the same for you. Working with anything creative at all, it's life gets weird, and you have to adapt, and you have to find some kind of way to make the puzzle work. And I balance on that edge all the time, like all of us. It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, it is a balance, and it's super difficult, but it's also equally or even more rewarding. I wouldn't want to live without it. So yeah,
that's I really like that answer. What's an average day like for you?
There is none.
Based on that, I probably could have came up with that on my own based on your previous answer, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a dad. I have a 9-year-old. He goes to school, so that's kind of the most. And my partner, she's a teacher, so they have kind of normal hours, and I try to adapt my hours as much as I can to theirs. So that's kind of the constant, and the rest is chaos, basically. So that's how it goes. I go to the studio. I spend my days here. I go home at like 4 or 5, and I have a pretty normal family life, which I love. My family's everything. That's my center in everything. So all the other stuff that happens during the days here in the studio, basically, if I'm not on tour.
Right. Yeah. Is there?
But there is no normal day in the music business. I guess it's all kind of. It's different levels of chaos that you try to organize
right
all the time. Yeah.
I kind of get the feeling that it's either like all of the chaos or a lot of calm. And maybe like in spurts.
Yeah, that's right. It usually is. It usually is everything at once. And then it's a little bit slow for a period, and then you get nervous and you think nothing is happening, and then everything happens at once.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's a cycle a little bit. So you're absolutely right.
But
it never slows down to a halt. It never does. I mean, that's actually when you do the solo project and all the side stuff, when you have that extra time.
Because, it seems like the appropriate time to try to knock those things out, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess based on all that and all the things you have going on and all the things that you've been successful with in music, is there any advice that you have received or would like to give to fellow musicians in relation to all these things?
Oh, that's super hard. Can you elaborate?
Just in relation to the music business, whether it be recording advice, touring advice, just things that a guy who's been putting out really good stuff for however damn long now could relay to somebody.
I don't know. I mean, it's a super interesting subject, and it's an ongoing discussion for all of us, I guess, how this all works. And the more I do it, the less I know. most things. Like, what the hell am I even doing? I don't know how to do this. Oh, there's another album, and yeah, it's a really weird process navigating in this business, I think. I saw an interview with a guitarist, I forget the name of again, because names. But, he said something like, he was asked the same basically the same question. He says, the best advice I can give is, like, just work hard and do what you love. And if you have success, enjoy it. And regard the success as temporary, because it will be. And after that, you'll go back to where you were before the success. And not as a bad thing, just as that's how it is.
Sure.
Don't be sad or sorry because that happens, because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You might be super successful for a period of time and then not. Or you might never reach success at all, because hard work doesn't equal success. We've been lucky with Monolord, because we just happened to make an album that just sat right at that moment in time. And then it kept snowballing.
Right.
But there are millions of bands that are super great that never get a shot, because music business is super, super weird. It's not fair at all on any level. And the more I do it, the more I feel that. It's crazy unfair. It's crazy. It's a crazy business. Really. It's insane. So all the cliches, I would say, they are true. Do what you love, and excel at it. And if you're lucky, that will bring you somewhere. But don't try to adapt to an idea you think will propel you forward, because that will never work. Or if it works, it will be very, very short.
Right.
That's how I see it, at least. But if you do it something you love and you just work at it, you will at least enjoy the ride. And if you're successful along the way, it's just a big bonus.
Right. Yeah, no, it seems like enjoying it along the way would be the most important part, right?
Always, always.
Well, I guess we'll start to wrap this up here. And since you mentioned Monolord, and I've mentioned them as well, I'd be remiss to not ask if there's any Monolord news or anything that you want to share with the people listening to this. Anything coming up with you guys?
Not more than we have a few festival dates this year. And that would be it for this year. But we'll see what happens along the way.
We'll all be paying attention. after that, well, you know what? No, there is one more kind of off-the-wall question I want to ask you. Somehow or another, as I messaged you earlier today, I realized that we are actually Facebook friends. And
nice.
It's something like that. Between album covers and some of the posts and stuff that I've seen, it seems like you like coffee. Am I out of line in guessing that?
You're not.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Coffee is delicious. I just want to double confirm that with you here on recording for posterity.
That is true. I do enjoy coffee. A little bit too much of it sometimes, but yeah, it's a good sauce.
I've overindulged myself at times. Now, with that bit of goofiness out of the way, I'm going to take you through a round of kind of goofy rapid-fire questions here, and then we'll get out. I'm not going to ask you coffee or tea, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that one. So instead, we'll start with, what's something you could eat for a week straight?
Oh, shit. Pizza.
Pizza's delicious.
Yeah, it is.
Being the drummer in the bands that we've mentioned a handful of times already, I'm going to ask you, who is the best doom metal band?
Well, I never know what to reply to what's the best of anything. That changes by the minute.
It's such a gotcha question. Yeah. I know. I hate to try to do it, but sometimes I have to take
a
swing.
It's okay. It's okay. And I suck at replying to those, because I should have the perfect answer. I don't know. The best doom drummer. I don't know. I don't know. What's doom?
That's probably the better question. But I think we'd probably need a lot more time to answer that one, huh?
Yeah.
So instead, we'll kick over to, we'll just go back-to-back food here. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, I'm vegan now, but there was a time when I ate meat. And I was in Greenland, and I ate whale, and it was exceptionally disgusting. Yeah.
Exceptionally disgusting.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Please excuse me while I write that down. Exceptional, disgusting, per aspect.
Noting all the good stuff.
Let's see here. What's the next stupid thing? If you had a parrot, what would you name it?
Oh, I have the best answer to that, which I forgot because a friend called me a while back, and he was about to name his cat, and he had a name for it, which was I have the perfect answer, and I forgot the answer. Damn, I'm blank. So it's gonna be called blank. Hey, blank.
Blank.
What's up?
There it is.
Yeah, blank.
Blank on a cracker.
I mean, that works.
Sure.
Yeah, works.
Beer or liquor?
All beer, easily.
Me too. What's the most embarrassing thing to happen to you in public?
You want me to tell you that?
Preferably.
Which I will. I think, there is many, but one of them I have recorded on tape, and I've tried to find that tape to play it to my partner because she laughs so hard every time I thought about this. I was on a summer camp when I was like, I don't know, 12 or something in that age, playing drums. And there was kind of, we had a little concert at the end of that week. And I played the kind of percussion section of the orchestra where I played I forget what the drums are called, but kind of timbales style drums. And I had a little solo in that. And I just overkilled it so incredibly bad. And that's caught on tape. It's like just extra everything, super loud, hitting super hard. Way out of touch in the context. That was crazy. That was very embarrassing.
Perfect.
I have it on tape and it should be released. So yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. It sounds like the contrast between how you play now and that would make for something pretty amusing indeed.
Yeah, should remaster it. Yeah. Amazing.
The last one for you here in the rapid fire thing, outside of one of your songs, what would the go-to karaoke song be?
Oh, I fucking hate karaoke. So yeah, that would be a beer for me.
Got it. More beer.
Yeah, yes.
So the last thing here is, before we go to the outro, is the completely original, nobody's ever thought of this before question that I like to ask here, and that is, you, Espen Williams, are stuck on an island by yourself for the rest of your life. You get to take one album with you. What would that album be?
That would be, either Powerage with AC/DC or Real Gone with Some Weight. I think it's called The Red One, right? Did I actually remember a name correctly? I'm just going to double check. Sorry. I mean, I don't trust myself with names. It's stupid.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll note that Powerage is also my favorite AC/DC album, so good call there.
Oh, it's amazing. And the production is like, it's still my go-to drum sound and everything sound. It's amazing. Fantastic. Let's see. I have to check this because this is very, very important. Yeah, Real Gone. That's right. With Tom Waits. That's the album. It's amazing.
All right.
And then I would also sneak in like 1,000 other albums that you didn't see.
Sure.
To the same island.
Right. What's the word I'm looking for here? Whatever. Now I can't remember things. Other than all that,
contagious.
I'm going to, hopefully by the end of the day, I will have forgotten my name and we'll call it a win. Other than all that, I just want to thank you again for your time today, Espen, and tell everybody listening if you know, for the love of Satan himself, if you haven't turned on Slower yet, make sure you do as soon as this is over, as well as everything else Espen related. Thanks again to the sponsors, both Sonic Temple and Brimminghorn. review us on iTunes, give stars on Spotify or however it is that that works. If you're not already, follow the podcast on all the socials. Espen, do you have any socials that you want to toss out here? I will have links in the show details and all that stuff, but if there's anything particular you want
to throw out. Yeah, sure. I'll send them afterwards.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That's perfect. Other than that, if you would introduce War Ensemble for us, we'll call it a day.
Absolutely. Hi, everybody. This is Espen Willems of Slower, and this is War Ensemble.
Perfect. We'll be right back.